Grace and peace from our God and Father, hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, and the consolation of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Okay, here.
First reading is from Revelation, chapter 7. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to them, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 34 responsively. I will bless the Lord at all times. The praise of God shall ever be in my mouth. I will glory in the Lord. Let the lowly hear and rejoice. Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt God's name together. I sought the Lord, who answered me and delivered me from all my terrors. Look upon the Lord and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed. I called in my affliction, and the Lord heard me and saved me from all my troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord and delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who take refuge in God. Fear the Lord, you saints of the Lord, for those who fear the Lord lack nothing. The lions are in want and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack nothing that is good. O Lord, you redeem the life of your servants, and those who put their trust in you will not be punished. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from 1 John, the third chapter. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, We will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Wasn't that a great hymn that we sang as our opening hymn for all the saints? It's probably sung in most churches around the world today as we celebrate All Saints Sunday. Heads up, Doris, this is the song that I want at my funeral. 32 years from today. one of the reasons I like this song, theology is very good, and I like the fact that it's an upbeat song rather than a dirge. You know, we talk about a funeral dirge, that it's got to be slow and sloggy, but the truth of this song is the truth is also evidenced in its music. We're going to sing more of that song at the end of the service. And I'd really urge you to pay attention to the words as well as to the music itself. On All Saints Sunday, it's a day that we remember the loved ones who have died. We've had a lot of deaths at St. Peter's this past year. Look at that all too long list on the back of the bulletin. Some of their pictures are here in our memorial. We remember these saints with great gratitude, with thanksgiving. And we also remember those names, those people whose names are written in our book of remembrance, the book that's near the font. And I would urge you to write down any names of family or friends, people that have died since last All Saints Day, and add them to our book of remembering. All Saints Day and these memorials are for some people a very emotional time. The time of grieving and the pain of loss is still very tender to the touch. For others, this can be a very sobering time. When we start talking about death, people need to take, we take stock of our own lives and we look at ourselves. But the Feast of All Saints is really a time of giving thanks for those people on whose shoulders we stand. So keep telling stories about these saints. I'll tell you two from this week. A woman came by the church in the week, and she wanted to make a donation. And before she handed me the check, it was kind of one of these things. As she started handing it to me, I started reaching and she pulled it back. So it was, I was a little embarrassed because it looked like I, but it, you know, it seemed like she was handing it to me. And she said, well, but I'm not a Christian. And I thought, we take money from people. But, you know, and she said, the reason I'm making this donation is that I have been inspired by Dr. John Maynard. He loved his church. There must be something here. And now, I don't know how she's connected to the family. She told me she was not. You know, she must have some connection with him or something. But to make that claim, I'm not a Christian, but he loved the church. So there must be something here. The same day that that happened, I heard this story about Ned Titlow. Louise told me. He was responding to some sort of a questionnaire or something, and Louise was helping him fill it out. And the question was, are you a Christian? And Ned looked at her and said, well, first, I'm a Lutheran. Don't we have great footsteps to follow in? To give example to people of what it means to be a Christian, of what it means to love the church in such a way to inspire even a stranger. You know, throughout the centuries, the Roman Catholic Church has really gotten sainthood down to a science. They have a process, a long process, of with years of investigations, and then there has to be the proof of at least 3 miracles before a certain person would be named saint. And part of that investigation is to look at that person's life and see how they lived according to the Beatitudes. That's part of the investigation in that process of to canonization, to sainthood. No wonder, though, that the gospel reading that we have on this Feast of All Saints, then, is the Beatitudes. I was intrigued, I am intrigued, by one of the Occupy protest tactics that they're using, these different groups that are popping up all over the country in different places. Well, one of the tactics that they're using is kind of a an echo. The person giving the speech will say one phrase and then everybody repeats it back and says the same phrase back. So taking the words, not just listening to a speech, but making those words their own words, making them their own. I was in an, if you've ever been in worship with in African American style of preaching, where there's a call and response, there's a expected response from the congregation when they hear something that they believe and that they affirm, they say something, they give an amen. So, can I have an amen?
Amen.
Oh, see, that's good. Well, I'd like you to take your bulletins and turn to page 6 and take a look again at the Beatitudes. And I'd like to invite you to join me in a call and response looking at these Beatitudes. So you don't just hear these words, but you make them your own. I'll read the first part, and you all answer with the second part. So page 6 of the bulletin. Blessed are the poor in spirit.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn.
For they will be comforted.
Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
For they will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful.
For they will receive mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart.
For they will see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
For they will be called children of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account.
Rejoice and be glad, for your
Well, these are saintly virtues by which a godly life is measured. They describe God's ideal vision of who we can be. Now, most of us read those Beatitudes as kind of a job description for the ideal Christian, and we know we can never achieve that successfully. It's impossible to be that saintly. Well, at least it's impossible for me to be that saintly. You know, so we kind of don't even try because we could never achieve it. If we could only live according to the Beatitudes, then we could be saints. It's kind of like a carrot on a stick, out of reach. We're trying to achieve it, but we know we'll never get there, so we abandon it. But that is not the reality. That is not how the Beatitudes were expressed, why the Beatitudes were expressed by Jesus. I read an explanation of the Beatitudes last week that made good sense to me. Kathleen Chesko, a Christian educator, wrote this. Jesus must have looked out over the people who were poor, people who were sad with the losses in their lives, people struggling with the injustices of the Roman regime, gentle, good people, desperately wanting to know that God cared for them. And Jesus' heart was moved to compassion. He was not telling them what they needed to do to be perfect. He was telling them who they were and why this is beautiful. The Beatitudes is Jesus' love song for his people. Jesus calls to us with that same love song and invites us into a way of love that begins with loving ourselves and loving others. Jesus looked out over the people and he recognized their beauty and invited them to join him in blessing God with praise and thanksgiving. He recognized in their gifts the true beginnings of the reign of God, the possibility of God's future. Jesus was inviting them to see their gifts, their mourning, their meekness, their thirst for hunger and justice, even their poverty and their persecution, to see those as gifts. And to allow those gifts to be the guiding principles for their lives. The reality is that all of us who have been baptized are saints already. It's not a matter of doing the right things or living an extraordinary life. It's not a matter of going to church all the time or even working the correct number of miracles. It is not, after all, about what we do, but it's about what God has done in Christ Jesus. Sainthood is about being a part of the body of Christ, which is a source of blessing, even in the midst of difficulties and hardships. And while it's true that we are already saints, it's also true that we are sinners at the same time. As we talked with the children, saint and sinner, good and bad, nice and mean, stingy and generous. I'm not sure I got the homework and the spelling test one, but you get the idea, you know, that we have all of this in us at the same time. It's important for us then to claim the sainthood, to claim the goodness, to claim the generosity, to claim our sainthood and to practice it, to live it out in such a way that God is glorified in us. Barbara Brown Taylor, one of my favorite preachers, talks about claiming sainthood, and she gives this example. She says it's like there's a check written out to you for $1 million, and it's in the next room. If you don't go and pick up that check and cash it, you are just as poor as if you weren't the millionaire that that check would make you. We have become millionaires. We are millionaires. We are saints through baptism. And from that day, we can claim that sainthood, exercise it, practice it, live it out. Be the millionaire that God has called you to be. We always begin our service at the font, reminding ourselves of that baptism, reminding ourselves that we have been claimed and named by God. John says, see what love God has for us. We are called children of God, and that is what we are. We are God's children now. This is not a carrot on a stick, something high in the sky. God has called us, named us, claimed us as his beloved children. Pick up that $1 million check. Act on it. Live it out. So happy All Saints Day, you saints. We celebrate this day by remembering the great saints that have gone before us, and also remembering that we too are saints. And through the nourishment of the body and blood of Christ, we become even stronger and more the reality of who we really are, the beloved children of God, the body of Christ. Amen.